Equal Eyes. BBC Natural World. A man rides past a small dilapidated rural church.
Mexico. A wild land. The animals that live here do so in greater numbers and variety than almost anywhere else on Earth. With so much at stake, one man has fought tirelessly to protect the wildlife of Mexico. But there's a particular creature he's devoted his life to saving.
A man with a white beard.
Rodrigo Medellin is the champion of one of the world's most hated animals, bats.
He holds a tiny one.
There's little bats, there's big bats, there's short-snouted, long-snouted, big eyes, long ears, short ears, every type of bat.
He is embarking on the culmination of his life's work, a mission to save both his favourite bat and the legendary drink of Mexico, tequila.
In Mexico and in other places, because of what I do, they call me the Batman. All I want is that people get the right information about bats and about how important they are for us. And if that entails them calling me the Batman, so be it. I am the Batman.
The Batman of Mexico. Narrated by David Attenborough. Blood drips down onto a drain.
Rodrigo Medellin was not like other children. While his friends kept gerbils and hamsters, Rodrigo's pets were vampire bats.
I remember when I was a kid, I would keep vampire bats in the bathroom of my home, feeding them blood from cows or from me sometimes, keeping blood in the fridge so that I could feed the bats every night. That was not easy to withstand, and still my parents let me do that. It was fascinating to me to see these bats feeding and interacting with each other, and they take care of each other so well. It was a lot of fun.
It was the beginning of a lifetime's obsession. But Rodrigo grew up in a world that loathed bats.
In the 19th century, there was this author who wrote a book entitled Dracula. That really touched the imagination of people around the world. And that has turned bats into monsters, unfortunately.
Rodrigo crosses a stream on the horse. Then he's unlocking a chained gate.
Bats were so hated in Mexico because of their association with evil that people would hunt them down and kill them, burning them in their caves. Their populations crashed.
To this day, people are afraid, saying that they are filthy and that they are everything bad in the world. That is really not the case at all.
A kilometer into a mountain south of Mexico City, Rodrigo is searching for a bat so persecuted it was nearly lost forever. It's called the lesser long-nosed bat, or tequila bat. This is one of his favorite childhood haunts.
For most people, caves would sound like a terrifying place, like a place where they don't belong. But caves are my perfect place. Caves are an incredibly peaceful place.
Rodrigo has spent much of the last 20 years underground working to save the tequila bat.
It's bat guano all over. Under that layer of bat feces is a whole layer of living insects, beetles, beetle larvae, fly larvae, moth larvae that are just moving everything, everything, everything. You look and everything is moving.
Because bats move from cave to cave, he never knows what he'll find. As he approaches the roost, he must leave his lantern outside. Our cameras can see what he cannot. No one has seen this before.
Look at this. There's so many bats around us. In this beautiful space.
There are thousands of bats here, of many different species, perhaps even the ones he's after. But Rodrigo can't see them.
If I close my eyes now, it's exactly the same as if I have them open. I see absolutely nothing. In terms of my ears, I'm hearing a stream of bats coming from that direction around me and passing through, and then a bunch of bats squealing back there. I can picture a map of the cave in my head.
The bats also navigate using their ears, but they have evolved the ability to see with sound. They make high-pitched sounds beyond our hearing and listen for the echoes off objects. This is how they can fly in the dark.
This is what is called the Hall of Hell. Temperatures well above our comfort zone, close to 38 to 40 degrees Celsius. Very high relative humidity. All of my clothes are completely wet. People associate this heat with hell. But I feel perfectly at home here.
Rodrigo pushes into the deepest chamber to find out if his precious tequila bats are here. He may not be able to see the bats, but the guano beneath his feet is a vivid history of what's lived in this cave. And Rodrigo knows his guano.
Oh yes, this is a lump of lesser long-nosed bat poop. This tells me that this is indeed a lesser long-nosed bat colony.
They're here, and thanks to Rodrigo's work, they're safe. Today, gates and guardians protect this cave. Now, Rodrigo must catch one to see if they're healthy. To do this without harming them, he uses mist nets, too fine for the bat's echolocation to detect.
My first lesser long-nosed bat came into my hands when I was 15. We knew nothing about it. Then we found out that they were really endangered. We were looking at roosts that were known to have many thousands of lesser long-nosed bats, and when we visited them, they only had a few hundreds or none. That immediately told us that they were in trouble. So this is one of my best friends. This is the lesser long-nosed bat. This is an amazing animal that migrates for thousands of kilometers. It's a small but powerful flyer. Look at this amazing wing.
He opens it.
This is what made bats so successful in the night skies. Long-fingered hand here and a very long arm here. You can see both vein down here and a series of muscle stretches here. It's very much alive, so that they can control making it broader or narrower. That makes them masters of the air. It's getting ready to start a really exciting time, a really demanding time, a really dangerous time too, which is migration.
On a map,
the migration of this tiny endangered bat is one of the greatest in the animal world. This epic journey happens at night, so it's taken Rodrigo 20 years to work out their route. Over his life, he has discovered many of the roosts they use on their 2,000 kilometer journey and protected them one by one. The entire migration is powered by nectar.
I'm gonna give it a little bit of sugar water here. This incredible tongue that they have is the perfect instrument for them to reach into deep flowers, like agave flowers. It's incredible that an animal this big can do what these guys do. I love them because of that.
Rodrigo is about to immerse himself in the bat's world. By tracking their entire migration, he wants to see if he's achieved what many thought impossible, saving the tequila bats from extinction. The stakes are high. Their fate is tied to Mexico's most famous export.
As a Mexican, I'm proud of my country. And part of the Mexican spirit is a beverage that is called tequila.
He drinks sitting by a fire. Workers outside at dawn.
These spiky plants are the source of tequila.
Tequila is a very important part of the Mexican economy. And it is owed to bats.
They cut the long, sharp leaves.
Bats provide pollination for the tequila plant, the agave plant.
Mexico relies on tequila. Over a quarter of a billion liters were exported last year. Every plant is harvested by hand, by men called quemadores.
They keep the large round base.
In a trade passed down from father to son. The agaves are planted where they've always grown, in the flight path of the bats.
The workers walk through a field of agave plants, the long green leaves growing upwards at a slight angle to about chest height. At night,
what agaves do is they grow and grow and grow, and then when the time comes, they send this amazing shoot, huge flowering stalk up into the sky. They invest all of their energy that they have accumulated over 15 years into one single reproductive event that basically costs them their lives. The link that they formed has been here for millions of years. Agaves rely on the bats to move their pollen. Bats rely on agaves so that they can survive. We could not have this amazing product if it wasn't for the bats. And I can't help but think of the bats and thank the bats for the incredible service they give us.
Rodrigo takes another sip as the fire sparks around him.
Without the bats, there would be no tequila.
An aerial view rising higher and higher above a wide expanse of wild agave plants.
Bats are so vital in spreading pollen and seeds that they're known as the farmers of the tropics. Without them, our crops and forests would collapse, with terrible consequences for us all.
Flying over a wet field with cows grazing in it.
The tequila bat's journey takes them west.
Over trees, then along a river.
And they sweep through the valleys and plains of central Mexico. The land beneath them changes constantly. And always, they pass over us.
Along the coast.
Until 500 kilometers west of where they started, they hit the Pacific Ocean and the uninhabited islands of Charmella.
Two small rocky islands covered in dense green foliage. Rodrigo approaches them by boat.
Rodrigo has heard reports that the bats have been gathering here.
He stands at the entrance to a cave.
He's never been to this cave before.
From above, the small boat is moored in a cove. In front of it, a split in the rocks heads inland. Inside the cave,
to his horror, it's full of cockroaches. He hates cockroaches.
Whoa, so many cockroaches, and I almost fell on them.
But he's astonished by what he finds.
This is incredible.
bats fly above him.
So many nesting on those bats. All around me. It's so good to see that their numbers are stable and big.
The tequila bats have come together from all across Mexico with one thing on their minds.
In the faint purple light that illuminates part of the cave, two bats hang next to each other, rubbing their heads against one another. Others hang around them, swaying slightly, while more fly in front of them.
They're mating here right now. And this is a very well-protected cave. The ocean takes care of that.
Water gushes onto the beach.
While Lucas, the boatman, tucks into some oysters, Rodrigo pushes deeper into the cave and the source of the bat's aphrodisiac.
Oh, yes. Big male, which is what we expected in this cave. It's full of males getting ready to reproduce. Such well-tempered bat. With big testicles ready for action, loaded with sperm and ready for the females that are gathering here in this cave. And this should have a patch on its back. Oh yeah, the patch is there. Very oily. I can feel it with my finger here. That patch is put there by the males. They put feces and urine and saliva there, and that is very attractive to the females. Females are going to come and take a whiff of that and just fall in love with this guy. This boy is ready to mate, and it's time to let him go so that he can do his deed. There you go, my friend.
The bat flies up to join the others.
On the roof of this cave, an extraordinary mass seduction is taking place. Once the females find a male whose sex potion entrances them, they'll choose him as their mate. And in 3 months, 1,500 kilometers away, a single baby bat will be born. It may be alluring for the females, but for Rodrigo, the smell is overpowering.
This is a really stinky cave. And there's lots and lots of bats here. Lots of them everywhere. This is certainly, this is certainly a challenging cave to be in, to be sure.
Eventually, the smell and the cockroaches are too much, even for the Batman.
He leaves and stands in the entrance to the cave, washing himself off as the water flows out. Then a view of three small islands at dusk.
The bats will stay on this island for weeks, mating and building their strength, before they continue on the next stage in their migration. It will be perhaps 30 sunsets until then, and each evening is a changing of the guard.
A single bird flies against the backdrop of a pastel-coloured sky at dusk. Then more follow until the whole flock flies past in slow motion, their dark wings flapping in a scattered random pattern.
As the birds of Mexico head home to roost. All across this enormous country, bats are about to reclaim the night. Nowhere is this more spectacular than the bat volcano of Calakmul.
Two birds on a branch.
Predators are gathering. It's called the bat volcano because every night it erupts.
The mouth of the cave is full with the moving black specks of bats leaving. As they come out, they rise up in a large swirling column.
This is one of the greatest bat colonies on Earth. Perhaps as many as 3 million bats live here. To avoid being eaten, they form a living tornado 200 meters tall. In this whirling mass, it's almost impossible for their predators to choose a target. But the bats must head to their feeding grounds, and they start to peel off across the forest.
Some loop away to the side, while others are still leaving the cave, brown against the green backdrop.
Now the hunters can strike.
A bird of prey flies through them.
One bat narrowly escapes.
They all continue to fly upwards.
Others aren't so lucky.
One of them is caught.
Bat falcons and brown jays also swoop in to make their kills.
One bird flies up and spreads its wings, looking down at the mass exodus out of the cave.
But nothing can dent the swarm.
The birds fly amongst them.
They're heading for the cornfields across the forest. There they will devour 20 tons of insect pests.
The bats fill the red copper sky.
Like this hatching armyworm moth, each moth can produce hundreds of hungry caterpillars. And unprotected, the crops would be doomed.
Rodrigo rubs lime on a corn cob and eats it.
Most Mexicans don't realize that they owe not only their tequila, but also their corn to bats.
He's at a roadside cafe.
Thanks to bats, we're eating this.
Rodrigo's main weapon to defend the bats is education. His teams work in over 30 states across Mexico, and he never misses a chance for a bit of bat PR.
He says to a woman, "These corn cobs are delicious, but I'll ask you a question. What do you think about bats?" She says, "They are bad." And Rodrigo says, "We have these corns because the bats have been eating their pests. Do you like tequila?" Laughing, she says, "Are you kidding?" Then Rodrigo says, "Well, we have tequila because bats have been pollinating that plant for millions of years. So what do you think of bats now?" She says, "I think they're great." And he says, "Perfect, you got it." Then walks away with his corn cob.
You can see it in the eyes of people when you talk to them, and it makes sense. All of a sudden, everything makes sense. Their frame of mind changes, and they're bad friends from then on. And they propagate the message. They talk to the people in the house, they talk to the people in the office, in school, etc. And little by little, the situation goes snowballing and really, really changes the panorama for the bats. I can turn them around in 10 minutes, in 15 minutes. I give them the facts, I give them the evidence, I give them the images.
Over 20 years, Rodrigo and his team have converted the people whose land the bats rely on from potential destroyers to bat defenders.
An old stone ruin with forest spread out beyond it.
Just a few centuries ago, bats were worshipped in Mexico. The darkest month was named after them, and one of their gods was a bat. This is the rainforest of the Maya. Because the tequila bats have still not left their island, Rodrigo has a chance to return to the place he calls home.
He stands at the top of the ruin, looking out.
Once, a vast empire stretched across these lands. Now, their temples, palaces, and sacrificial altars have been swallowed by the forest.
He steps carefully across a waterfall amongst the trees.
This jungle is very special to Rodrigo. For here, 30 years ago, he helped create the Chajul Field Station. It has since become his base for bat research.
I always look forward to my first morning when I'm going to be woken up by the howler's calling. Nature right there with you, just outside your window.
A monkey leaps from a branch.
It's great to be back. It's peaceful. It really feels like coming home.
In speeded-up film, clouds move quickly across the sky at night in the light of the moon.
Every time I go into the forest looking for bats, there's something different going on.
A frog jumps on his face.
The forest is alive. Every little piece of forest that you see has a secret to unveil. One of the first nights that I spent here, I set my mist nets. And I was blown away by the diversity of bats, by the abundance of the bats. There's nothing like this anywhere else in Mexico. Not like this. This is 50, 40 species in a week. Many bats that I caught there had never been caught in Mexico before. So those are new records for the country.
One bat has a small horn on its nose. Another yawns as he holds it.
In a couple of nights, Rodrigo and his team catch 22 species. That's more types of bat than inhabit the entire British Isles.
He lets one go, then a flower's petals open up.
Flower nibblers, fruit gobblers, and even some bats that devour other bats, leaving only their wings.
A bat wing drops to the ground.
And tonight, he's caught something very rare and very weird.
It's got suckers in its thumbs and in its feet. They're really real suckers.
They stick to his finger.
Beautiful. How this glass, it's perfectly smooth, and it's using its suckers to move around the glass.
This sucker-footed bat can stick to the sides of curled-up jungle leaves in which it hides in the daytime.
There's no other mammal or bird or reptile who have suckers like this. This is something really unique in the natural world. Now it's time to let him go. The suckers make it really hard to come out.
He gently nudges the bat out of the tall, narrow glass. Then it sticks to his hand.
Some gentle encouragement, and he's away.
It flies off into the night. Daytime by a river.
Finally, it's time for Rodrigo to return to the Tequila Bat Island. It takes 3 days, by boat, car and foot.
A small light moves east over the map of Mexico.
The females are now pregnant and are ready to start their long journey north. They're not the only travellers who will set out tonight. For on the beach, new life is stirring.
This is a miracle. This is many miracles happening right now. These are all Olive Ridley sea turtles. Their mother deposited the eggs here about 2 months ago. And these newborns are incredibly powerful, having just pushed through about 2 feet of sand. And they're getting ready to go into the ocean. Good luck to you all.
From this beach, the turtles will spread across the oceans. Those that survive will be pushed by their instincts and their memories to return to this beach to lay their eggs. It's this same urge to go back to the place of their birth that drives the mother tequila bats north. They too are returning to where they started life. Before they spread out across Mexico, Rodrigo has a rare chance to count them and estimate how many there are.
This is an amazing thing. I can't see anything. The cave is straight ahead of me. So this thermal camera can tell me what's going on there. Using this technology, we can estimate how many bats do we have in this cave. I'm guessing about 40,000 lesser long-nosed bats. This, of course, is chaos. I mean, really, they're going in every possible direction. But the spectacle is incredible.
This is staggering, considering that 20 years ago, when Rodrigo started to save them, many caves only had a few hundred bats, or none at all.
The map shows a line up the east coast.
The path the bats must now take lies between the mountains of the Sierra Madre and the sea. This fertile land is called the Nectar Corridor. Because here, every year, billions of flowers open at night. The bats must feed on these constantly to fuel their journey. Otherwise, they'll die. And they have to time it perfectly.
Over millions of years, the bats have learned by trial and death to track where the nectar is going to show up next. Bats are early or bats are late, plants die and bats die.
Dawn breaks.
What the bats miss is hoovered up quickly in the daytime in a fiesta of hummingbirds. But both hummingbird and bat face an uncertain future.
Humans are affecting every last corner of the world in many different ways, some ways that we still don't understand. Biological diversity is under threat from many angles, and not all of them are manageable or reversible by humans.
Mexico is developing fast. The land the bats rely on is being swallowed, and nature is being destroyed. But because of Rodrigo, at least some is safe. 30 years ago, he was asked to assist a new government to devise laws to save the wildlife of Mexico. Landowners, the Mexican people, worked as partners to create a vast network of linked nature reserves, made from their private and the government's public land.
I've worked with small groups, big groups, individuals, in government halls, everywhere. All we need is a little bit of information, and people are going to change about bats.
Now, over a quarter of Mexico is protected land. Where other countries have lost much of their wildlife, Mexico is a rare success story. But nature in Mexico is still threatened, and Rodrigo is still pushing to save more. This cave is one of the safe ones, protected by local families who share the land. Down here, Rodrigo and the bats feel safe.
He kneels in the cave.
The peacefulness in here is really overwhelming. It's really nice. The only sound around you are the bats flying around you. This here is a bed of bat guano. I could just lie down here and take a nap. It'd be a very nice nap. I just absolutely love it.
But even in their deepest sanctuaries, where their bodies lie undisturbed by any scavenger, they're never quite secure. For this cave is called the Cave of the Serpents.
A snake.
Somehow, a group of snakes have learned that they can catch their food here. This is something I have never seen before. These are rat snakes, but they're getting used to eating bats inside the cave as they come out.
As darkness falls outside, the bats prepare to leave. From much deeper underground, they start to throng the narrow passages towards the surface. And the snakes start to emerge.
In the purple light, one hangs down from the rock by its tail, while another peers out of a hole.
Look at that.
It catches a bat.
This snake is deep into the cave, where the bats are supposed to be completely safe from predators. Not so. Dinner.
The bat dwarfs the snake's head. To swallow it, the snake must dislocate its jaw.
This is one more danger that bats face. Along their migration, and still, they're there and surviving.
The snake, peering out of a hole in the rock, slowly retreats into the darkness. A storm at night.
And just when the bat populations look safe, disaster strikes.
Lightning flashes.
Within weeks of each other, not one but two hurricanes hit Mexico and batter the entire Pacific coast.
Swirling clouds.
This is a threat beyond even Rodrigo's control.
He drives in the rain.
He loses the tequila bats. Across the country, he sends his students to everywhere the bats have ever been found.
They put up fine nets.
For 3 weeks, they search day and night. This has never happened before.
At dusk, Rodrigo stands and looks around the vast landscape with a solemn expression. At night, his students are with him.
Okay, so the bats are not here.
Well, I don't know.
They sit despondently on the ground. Then Rodrigo's standing against a tall plant beneath a cloudy red sky.
If many of the bats have been killed, the future for their species is bleak.
Looking out across distant hills covered in green forest beneath an empty blue and cloudy sky. Then Rodrigo's walking over stones alongside a small stream.
The way I feel right now, the trail is getting cold. I'm not sure if we're gonna find them. Our only hope is to keep poking and looking in every little piece of bat habitat that we know of to see if they're there.
He walks amongst tall plants.
It's a tense time for Rodrigo. He puts out rewards for any leads. At last, one of his students thinks they've seen a tequila bat in a cave called Las Vegas.
They all make their way to it and set up the high nets.
They block the exits and he heads in alone.
The students wait on the rocks at the cave entrance as Rodrigo goes in. When he comes out again, he's smiling and gives a thumbs up.
Finally, he emerges. Triumphant.
I found them. It took weeks of searching everywhere. It took two hurricanes to move the bats around so that we could not track them. But they're here. I got maybe 10, so the population is healthy. Another dot in the migration of this species.
I'm so relieved.
I found them.
He takes one out of his bag.
Oh, wow.
Rodrigo holds the small bat between his fingers.
Oh, look at this. This is a pregnant female. Her wings are in great shape. Wow, I can feel the head right here and the rump over here. This is the baby right here. The baby is really big. I can imagine the energy that this bat has spent just flying around with a fetus growing inside her. Thank you, Mom. We're ready to go.
She flies back into the cave. Later...
Lily?
With proof that there are bats here in numbers, he can get legal protection for the cave. The tequila bats have another vital place of permanent safety.
Rodrigo rides his horse across a meadow.
For Rodrigo, it's time to visit some old friends.
He heads for the trees.
There are over 1,200 species of bats in the world.
Rodrigo climbs off his horse and he's crawling through a cave entrance.
Three are vampires.
He goes deeper in, where bats fly around him in the low space.
And two of these species live in this cave.
Rodrigo holds up a circular net and catches one.
I got you. I thought this was a common vampire bat, but it's a hairy-legged vampire bat. They're not common at all. This hairy-legged vampire bat feeds almost entirely on mammal blood in this area here. They have a really soft side, which is that they share blood. No vampire bat can afford to go one night without feeding. We found out that they come back from their foraging and regurgitate a little bit of the blood for the guys that didn't feed that night. So basically they have a blood cooperative going in every vampire bat colony. They are nice. I mean, look at them. Really nice.
One of them feeds off a cow.
This might look like the stuff of nightmares, but the cow is oblivious to the vampires feeding on its back and sides. Vampire teeth are so sharp that the cow doesn't feel their bite. And an anticoagulant in their saliva keeps the blood flowing. They don't suck, but lick up the flowing juices. Often they will return to feed on the same animal night after night.
The bat flies away again.
Regrettably, Rodrigo can't stay for dinner. He's back on the trail of the tequila bats. He heads north to the end of the Nectar Corridor and the edge of the Pinacate Desert.
The Pinacate Desert is one of the great deserts of North America. It's part of the Sonoran Desert, and as such is part of the driest desert in this continent. It's one of the most challenging places on Earth to make a living as a human being or survive as a species. This place has been a desert for at least 100,000 years.
On the map,
the bats are aiming for a cave deep in the heart of this desert, in the Badlands, just south of the US border.
At night, a bat feeds from a cactus flower.
There are no agaves to feed off en route. Instead, the tequila bats, nearing the end of their three-month pregnancy, must seek the flowers of the giant columnar cactuses.
These flowers accommodate almost half of the bat's body into them. It means millions of years of evolution in which the flowers have become perfect receptacles for the bat's head and snout and tongue. And a very long tongue of the bats goes into those flowers and lick the nectar out, and they come out completely covered with pollen. They move out, they go to another columnar cactus, and there's pollination.
Because he knows the bats will come to the cactus flowers, Rodrigo has a chance to solve a puzzle that's long been on his mind. How far can they fly in one night?
He traps a bat in his net and carefully disentangles it by torchlight.
It is a female, very lively, in very, very good health. We're going to mark it with a blue powder.
Rodrigo coats the bats he catches in harmless UV dust, which they will lick off and digest.
We keep the head out so that the powder does not affect its senses. That should be enough.
The bats will now head on to their roost. And if Rodrigo can find a glowing bat dropping there, he can prove how far they've flown. At least in theory. No one has tried this before.
The sun rises over wide rocky terrain, which Rodrigo walks across.
At daybreak, 50 kilometers from the cactuses, Rodrigo finally arrives at the most important cave, the end point of their long journey, the birth cave of the tequila bats.
This cave is the largest colony that this bat has anywhere in the world.
It's Rodrigo's great hope that enough bats have made it here to sustain their population. The future of the species depends on what will take place in this ancient volcano.
We cannot get in the cave during the day. We would create chaos in the worrying females that are taking care of their babies.
He walks away from the small, discreet hole in the rust-brown rock. The shadow of a cactus plant slowly moves round. An animal comes out of its burrow and two lizards mate.
Rodrigo must wait by the cave mouth. Night falls.
He leaves his small camp by a tree, and bats start to fly out of the cave mouth.
And then
one flies around him.
At first, a trickle, then more emerge. At least some of the bats have made it. It's a tremendous relief for Rodrigo.
He smiles as he watches them, their bodies lit up in the darkness.
Now the mothers have left the cave to find food, it's safe for Rodrigo to go inside.
He climbs down into it along with one of his students.
They turn on their UV torches and carefully comb the cave.
They light up a scorpion, then examine the ground.
Ah! Blue poop. This is proof that these bats are really long-distance flyers, doing 50-kilometer one-way trips and then coming back every night. This is a really good find. Confirmation.
To fly to the cactus where Rodrigo dusted it and back is a 100-kilometer round trip. No one suspected the bats could fly so far.
This is a spotted skunk, and it's coming out now. I have never seen it before. Look at the incredible pattern and the huge feathered plume advertising that it is about to spray us. But it chooses to go off into the dark.
The skunk shuffles away from them.
Rodrigo moves far deeper into the maze of the volcano than he's ever been before.
He crouches through a hole in the rock.
We can check on their reproductive success by gauging how many babies are hanging from the roof of a cave.
They have to crawl along the ground through another low tunnel and into another chamber.
At last, far below the desert surface, the bats' secret, their nursery.
This is a group of babies, and there's a mix in their ages. Most of them are about a week old. Very few 1 day old and 2 day old babies. But it's always good to see them.
Pink bats crammed together.
These are the first babies to be born of what will hopefully be hundreds of thousands. The future of the entire species hangs in this cave.
They synchronize their births so that everything happens in the space of 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's it. You have twice that many bats in there. This is huge.
They hang from the roof in a compact, quivering and twitching mass. Rodrigo moves into another area.
Oh yeah, this is a good spot for the camera.
Rodrigo sets up remote cameras. He can't stay when the mothers return, so he's never seen what happens here during the day when they're reunited with their pups.
He studies a lone baby on the roof of the cave.
This is a very young baby. 1 day old, 2 day old. This is not a good place for the mother to leave this baby.
The pup is so young, its umbilical cord is still attached. It's yet to grow the fur and fat that will keep it warm.
These babies are tiny. At this age, they cannot keep their temperature up. They have to be surrounded by dozens or hundreds of other babies so that they keep the heat in place in what we call nurseries. But this poor guy is here by himself. If his mother doesn't come soon, his temperature is going to drop and he's going to be in trouble. Death is always part of the natural history of this species, but I always worry about the fate of these little guys.
Soon, the mothers will start to return from across the great desert wastes. It's time for Rodrigo to leave.
The night sky through the cave entrance, with stars moving past.
In the hours before dawn, the bats flood into the ancient volcano like an eruption in reverse.
The sky turns blue as another hot day dawns.
As the day passes on the desert surface, the cameras record the bats' hidden lives deep underground.
Rodrigo makes a fire.
At nightfall, once the females have left again, they can retrieve the footage. It's a long night, watching through the many hours recorded.
This has to be at around 7 or 8 p.m. Nobody has seen a nursery in the process of building up the numbers of babies that are left behind by the mothers.
But she's pregnant, right?
Not this one?
And then...
this one? Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this!
She's having a baby.
She's having a baby!
One bat hangs upside down a few inches away from all the others.
No es posible!
Rodrigo puts a hand to his head in disbelief.
The baby's coming out!
Guacolo.
No, como que guacala, que maravilla! This is incredible. She's licking, scratching, and again.
Wow.
They watch with pleasure.
The camera has captured something never seen before.
Look at the tiny forearm.
This is the face.
Yes.
First its head, then its wing emerges. Then suddenly the baby is out and clinging to its mother.
The wings are protecting the baby, so nobody can come close to the baby at all.
We catch a glimpse of the newborn pup's face as its mother cleans it in her fingertips.
Look at that! Ooh! Baby was slipping away from the mother. The baby must be very, very slippery. And it's slipping down away from the control of the mother, so she catches it with the wing.
The mother quickly positions the baby on her teat for its first feed of her milk.
That is amazing. There's a few mothers, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. But this is all babies.
Over the next few days, the colony swells with thousands upon thousands of new babies.
This is the flagship colony that is helping me understand what is the actual conservation status of that species. If we multiply that one birth hundreds of thousands of times, tells me that the species has recovered.
The bats fly out of the cave.
Rodrigo could never have dreamed 20 years ago that he'd be seeing such a recovery. His tequila bats have come home to roost.
A road sign warning of bats.
Our work as conservation professionals is not to put as many species as we can in the endangered species lists. Our work is to work as hard as we can for as long as it's needed, as long as it's needed only, to recover that species.
Finally, Rodrigo is ready to make an extraordinary announcement.
There's places where I have to be in big meetings. You have to address the world. Before that happens, I picture myself in a cave, in the darkness, in the quiet, in the peace of a cave. Everything is great then.
At the Ministry of the Environment in Mexico City, the journalists and ministers pack the room to hear what he has to say.
Así es que me da muchísimo gusto anunciar aquí que el murciélago maguillero menor finalmente ha dejado la lista de especies en peligro de extinción para convertirse en una especie recuperada. Es tiempo de celebrar.
Thanks to the work of Rodrigo, his team, and hundreds of others across this country, the lesser long-nosed bat is the first species in Mexico to be officially saved from extinction, and it will be removed from the endangered species list.
This is a clear indication that our work is actually having a good impact in the world.
His method of combining research, law, and community education has meant every single bat colony has either stabilized or increased. His techniques are now being applied with further success to save endangered species of all kinds across Latin America and the world. Rodrigo really is the Batman.
This is a great day for the lesser long-nosed bat. There's a lot of work to be done, but first, it's time to celebrate.
In slow motion, Rodrigo lets a bat go in the darkness, and it flies away